stealing a young girl's heart, just like Gene and Roy singing those campfire songs.
Oh, he's playing the hits now.
Should have been a cowboy.
If you actually fire him, he might can be good. He'll be a cowboy.
He'd have no chance.
I don't know why you say that. You've never seen me outside these walls.
Oh, let me rope that cattle here.
Saying cowboys can't have glasses?
I'm saying they'd rather be blind than wear glasses. You'd have to get some contacts or LASIK or something.
Contacts are not for me.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I've never tried them.
Like Colorado's football stadium.
They're so easy. Yeah. He loves all these.
The opposite.
He loves or hates all these things that he's never seen or tried.
Yeah. That just seems like too much time. I ain't got time for that.
Oh, yeah. It's a brutal 5 seconds in the morning. I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
What a weird thing to say. Too much time? You put them in, you're done.
I wake up like 7 minutes before I have to leave the house in the morning.
It takes
really
5 seconds.
I didn't think dust would be a problem with cowboys and contacts, though.
Yeah.
It's a problem anyway.
Irritate your eyes. Sure. Come on, Chris. Think these things through.
Well, you're going to be cleaning your glasses every 2 minutes on the open prairie.
Maybe some James Worthy-style goggles.
I'd go LASIK before I got contacts.
Okay.
Back to the Big Orange Chili phone lines. DR Vol is back on. What's up, DR?
Sorry, guys. My service went a lot like my faith and Heisman voting. It went dead. I was about done with my phone call, but I did have a question. And this is a very stupid question, probably, but these kids that sign these NIL deals, like Hyatt, do they take those with them when they leave? Like, do y'all think that's a sign he's staying? Or, and if y'all brought this up, I missed the first hour of the show. I apologize.
No, because that news just broke, I think really right when you called is when I first saw it. I guess theoretically they could. Like, you could carry an NIL deal into – like the NFL, and then he would just be doing commercials. Then it just becomes a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like
an endorsement?
An endorsement, yeah. It just becomes an endorsement deal that it wouldn't technically. I mean, that's what all NIL deals are. It's an endorsement deal, but then once you get to the NFL, like they could carry that over for sure. So I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, this means he's coming back. I don't know. Because it could be a one-off thing for just this bowl game.
Bowl season, yeah.
Yeah. So I have no idea, honestly, DR.
I didn't even think about that. We don't even know the time period of this endorsement.
It could be a one-month deal or like, hey, we're going to sign you up for this. We need you to do this and this, and then we're going to give your teammates a 7-day voucher for a free Hyatt hotel stay anywhere in the world.
Guys, that's about all I got. Just more disappointment. The Big Orange Screw is always around. You just never know when it's going to strike. You have a good day, guys.
You too, buddy.
Thanks for the call.
I did get a tweet from Vol Admiral, and he said, does the Heisman screw job, which of course brings light to the greater Big Orange Screw, is it possible that these things could affect recruiting in the near or long term? Like, if kids realize, if I go to Tennessee, and even if I'm the best in the country, am I going to win? Like, does this make it look like Tennessee's never going to get into the playoff and never going to win a Heisman because you're kind of getting jobbed here?
Or is it a
you did it to yourself by losing to South Carolina deal?
Kids are cocky these days. If you're a stud in high school, if you're a 5-star recruit, your mindset probably is, I'm going to be the first one to win the Heisman at this school. I don't think they can consider that stuff.
That's why we love your humility, Hickman.
Hey, it's just an honest assessment.
Do you think there's going to be like – he mentioned other coaches, because high school kids probably don't care. But other coaches saying, if you go to Tennessee, you're never going to win the Heisman. Might as well come here. We've got two Heisman winners.
I don't think so. I don't think you –
they may try, but I don't think that's something that would weigh.
It's too elaborate of a talking point to have to get into if you're an opposing school.
Yeah. Like if you've got to go to that
it's
talking point, it's you've probably missed the mark already.
I mean, I think if you do use it a little bit, then you would water it down to a very simple premise of saying like, well, I know if I'm recruiting a kid and I'm Georgia versus Tennessee and the kid really likes the Tennessee offense, you know, I'm Kirby Smart, I might say something like, hey, I know you're really interested in Tennessee. I know it's a high-flying, fun offense, you know, that it's definitely – and you, because you kind of want to give a compliment and then kind of take – and then kind of get the downgrade in there so you don't come off like a complete ass. So you say, look, I know Tennessee's a high-flying offense. We actually prepared for them, you know, more than a lot of the offenses we played this year, you know. But, you know, that's still kind of where it ends. You know, they haven't made a – you know, they're not really a championship-caliber program like we are. That's how you use it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't think you – I think if you tried to say something like, you know, at Tennessee you're really not going to win the big awards or win championships, I think you kind of come off like a –
a negative recruiting punk.
Yeah, and a conspiracy theorist, kind of like an ignoramus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it – even if you could correctly explain it to a recruit, I think by the end of your explanation, you would have lost them. You'd be like
– they're just like, what's the point of this conversation?
Right,
now?
Like just – I mean, they're going to – and rightfully so in the recruiting process, they're all about themselves and how is the fit and
sure.
What are you doing for them? So,
that's not to say that some dumb coaches wouldn't try it.
Yeah,
I just don't know if it would work.
I don't think it would work either. I mean, the guys are still racking up awards other places too. Like, if you're Tennessee, I mean, you're still able to say, you know, Hendon Hooker was offensive player of the year, or Jalen Hyatt was if he doesn't win, he's a finalist for the Blitnikoff. Like, there's always things for you to sell, and I think that would drown out any negative recruiting on that front. I think negative recruiting is usually born out of something that you have an edge in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Georgia, you're saying, hey, I know Tennessee's fun and looks, you know, that's, they're definitely an up and comer, but we're.
Look at what we did to them.
Yeah, we're the champ. You know, here you're guaranteed to play for championships. There you might get a chance. You know, if you're, I don't know, trying to think of a lower team, I don't even know what they would use. You know, like if I'm at Auburn and I'm recruiting against Tennessee and I find out the kid has an interest in some field that we have and that they don't, then that's a way you can negative recruit against their academics or something. I don't know. But usually negative recruiting is born out of some type of positive you have. If the kid's from Auburn, Alabama, and I'm recruiting against Tennessee, I'm like, hey, yeah, I know Tennessee does have that cool campus there, you know, in the city, and I know you said you like that, you know, but – I mean, here, mom.
But look at all these cattle.
But here, you know, your mom can come to every game. It's really easy for her. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we play at Tennessee, then she can make the one road trip, and she'll be able to see, you know, like, it's just, you know. I don't really think coaches just run around negatively recruiting constantly. Like, you kind of just come off like a – I don't think that sells, really.
No, and those, like, recruit confidentials, they say that. They're like, the coaches who end up just bashing other schools turns a lot of them off really quickly.
I mean, why would you want to play for a guy like that? You know, if he's bashing other schools, he's probably going to bash
you to the next recruit
when you play poorly.
Man, you can come start over this guy. He stinks.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So I think it would help, obviously, if the more awards you get helps recruiting.
Sure, sure.
But I don't think it's – so in a way, does it hurt? Well, yeah, if you miss out on an opportunity, it hurts in that way. But I don't think we used to use the big hard screw term when I was in college as what the university does to its own students. Like,
where you have one class on one side of campus and then the next one on the back side of the hill. You got 10 minutes to go like a mile and a half straight uphill. Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, we don't offer that one in the spring, only in the fall. So you're going to have to come back for another half year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Graduate in December or just, you know, you can do a whole fifth year if you want.
So you're going to have to be enrolled as a full-time student. Yeah. So you're going to have to take a lot of bowling classes and then you can take this one class next semester. Yeah. Oh, and if you want to keep your FAFSA money, well, then you're going to have to enroll in full-time student classes that semester also. Heupel going to have a Heisman winner here?
Yeah. I would say that's a safe bet. I think if our team's good year in, year out with his system, with the way he runs things, you're going to see a lot of quarterbacks in conversation for the Heisman.
Yeah, is this year a little bit of a, okay, really good year for them, but it is year two. We don't want to give them credit for, I mean, I don't know. Hell, I guess Dugan's going. Dugan?
It's Dugan.
Dugan.
I've never once heard him called Dugan.
Okay. I was just asking a question.
Hey, since we're big on pronunciation today.
That's a good point.
I think it's just a... It's there's a lot of variables that all went against Hendenhooker. The injury.
Mm-hmm.
If the East and West was kind of flipped, like if Tennessee, even with the loss of South Carolina, was still playing in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and he could have put up monster numbers, even in a loss against, like if Tennessee was in the West, for example, and had LSU slot in that game, even with two losses, and he goes toe to toe with, the Georgia defense, and
mm-hmm.
you lose by a field goal or whatever, and you know, they win because they ran the ball more or whatever. Like, he outplays Stetson Bennett, even a loss. All that changes. It's just kind of a crappy – the fact that Tennessee had no real big games left after the Georgia game hurt, too. You know, the SEC championship game would have been a big game.
It did hurt, and then when you lost to South Carolina, it was like, wait, they were supposed to walk through this and be 11-1. How did that happen? No, I agree with that.
Yeah, and it's just – and then he's hurt. So, I mean, but nobody was watching the Vanderbilt game anyway. I don't know that he could have even done anything to – I mean, he could have been a finalist, but I don't think he was going to win it after the South Carolina game. And
I agree.
Just the nature of the award, it's not even really his fault. Like, it's such a team award now. Like, what's – I'd have to go back and look, but the last guy to win it on a bad team or on even a non – like, compete for the conference championship level team, it feels like it's got to be a while ago. And we've seen lots of winners where I'm like, I don't think this guy's that good. He's still on the best team.
Was it Johnny Manziel? Didn't they have weren't they a three-loss team the year he won Heisman?
That's probably it. But they beat Alabama, and that was on CBS, and everybody watched it, right? I mean, isn't that the year he won it?
Yeah, yeah.
Still, though, like, I mean, it's not like it was super late in the season when they played that game, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, his stats were insane, though, to be fair.
No, yeah, you got to –
I mean, those guys are on good, really good teams, right?
What did Robert Griffin III, what was Baylor's record in 2011?
That's a good question. They weren't playing.
They might have been good enough to play for their conference championship, though.
Lamar Jackson?
2016, that might be a good.
Weren't they in the playoff contention, though, until the next last week?
They might have been.
But no, that's still a good pull. Baylor lost three games, 2011, but they beat Oklahoma and Texas down the stretch. So they did not play for the Big 12 championship game. Their losses all came in the middle of the season. So, I mean, it's possible.
What year did Jackson win it? 16 or 17?
Yeah, 2016. His sophomore year.
He actually had better numbers the next year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
He had like 120 more passing yards and only about, not that much, like 40 more rushing. Slightly fewer touchdowns. He accounted for 51 touchdowns rushing and passing in 2016. But he completed 56.2% of his
passes. They lost their last three games.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was just so dynamic and different at the time that it's like, well, this guy's clearly the best.
Well, and sometimes they you could just dominate for so long mm-hmm. that you can limp the end of the season and it doesn't matter because you've already just like built up to it's. The Heisman's closer to voting in politics than it is football. Like, depending on the year, you mm-hmm. can build up momentum.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that.
And it's more of a reputation award. And your team and your success as a team and then your rep is like all that people know and care about.
Well, especially like that's why Bennett's there.
Right.
Because he's the walk-on who won a national championship, who had a pretty good year this year and he's on the best team. But then other guys can make it too, like Duggan making it. Like, that's a, hey, good job, good season. You know, we thought you were good enough to get a trip. He's not going to win it, but he can make the trip. But like Stroud was painted to win the Heisman from day one.
Right.
That's why he's there, because everyone knows his name.
I mean, Stetson is 11th in the country in passing yards. So when D'Arval was mentioning like stats, like he has won the statistical categories. The weird thing is he only has 20 passing touchdowns. He does have a bunch of rushing, which is strange.
You know, he what?
Stetson Bennett has I don't remember how many. He has a bunch of rushing touchdowns for the amount of rushes he has.
Yeah.
But I mean, he does have, you know, good enough stats, I guess, to win the award.
And a great supporting cast.
But that's the thing. Like, people, like, you have to watch the games. A lot of these guys just don't keep up with it.
They watch the one team they cover on a given
week.
And
honestly, if I had a vote, I wouldn't feel really comfortable having a vote with the amount of games I've watched this year. Like, I haven't watched Michael Penix play enough, or Caleb Williams even, or Drake May. Like, I watched Drake May a quarter this whole season.
Thankfully, the team results took him out of it in the last couple of weeks.
But if I was a Heisman voter, I would have watched more of the – I would have made the point. It's my job, right? But a lot of these guys don't treat it like that. They just – they do whatever their other job, their normal job is, and then they just...
They do what got them the vote. They don't take as much pride in the vote.
Then they just fire away. Yeah. Like, hell, Bo Nix's numbers look just as good as C.J. Stroud's, but no one's voting for him.
I mean,
because you have to watch the games and see stats aren't everything. And really, team wins and losses shouldn't be everything, but...
They're just about everything.
Yeah, we got to boil everything down to to make it easy, and that's just where we are. We'll come back with more Hour 3 next.
Racing the wind, chasing the sun, take a long way around, back to square one. Today we're
Hour 3 continues. The live stream is brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine. They'll get you back in the game in Memphis, but people come from all over, so go to Linderman Sports Medicine for all the details and see if they can help you out. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fan Run Radio. They're the proud sponsors of our live stream at fanrunradio.com and on the Fan Run Radio app as well. If you don't have it, download it. Fan Run Radio app.
Don't cost nothing. It's free.
In your app store. Wherever your apps are found. Back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got Philly. What's up, Phil?
Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Philly.
How y'all doing?
We're okay.
Just going over everything, you know?
Yeah, I didn't expect Hooker to win it. I think he should have made the trip. But I just wanted him to have a chance to tell his story. I mean, at that point, obviously, the votes are in. Everything's calculated and tabulated and all that. But I would like to see him get the chance to kind of share his story.
Well, yeah, because without him, Tennessee probably would have been lucky to have a win the season.
I mean, yeah, you think about some of the...
I think he probably win 7 games this year with Milton.
Really? With Milton?
7 or 6.
Okay. But
which is a disappointing season.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody in the SEC was at that. It's going to be at the ceremony, right?
No, Stetson Bennett's going. Quarterback, Georgia.
Oh,
yeah,
he probably does deserve it. He made some big plays when he had to, and he's good in the big games, and
It is kind of weird. In games that were close for Georgia, he was not very good, but those were not against good teams. Against good teams, he did play pretty well.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see if ABC and ESPN are going to prioritize the SEC, since the SEC is going to be on their number one thing here in a couple of years, instead of just kissing the Big Ten's fanny like they do.
Yeah, I kind of thought we'd see that switch a little bit this year, and once you got into like all the playoff rankings every week, you really didn't see it that much. I thought there'd be more caping for the SEC on the playoff committee shows and all that by the ESPN panel, but I mean, I don't know. I think at times they were pretty fair and balanced, but I don't remember it being that way when they were in bed with the Big Ten. I mean, ESPN single-handedly won Charles Woodson the Heisman by, you know, showcasing him for the final month of that season. And you definitely didn't get that for the SEC this year. But, yeah, I'm wondering if that switches in the next year or two as they get all of the games on ABC and ESPN.
But they did try to give Saban, a cry over not getting in the playoff.
That's true.
The most hilarious thing I've ever seen.
They had him on every halftime and every show possible trying to make the excuse for why. I don't know. That seems like it had a better chance of backfiring than actually getting them in the playoff. I don't know. I mean, the committee is not a bunch of SEC homers and trying to, like, sneak one over on them and have Nick Saban tell you what to do. I don't think they would have appreciated that very much. So I was kind of surprised by that.
Isn't the only one from the SEC on that committee, isn't it, Mitch Barnhart?
Yep. Jeez. That was the guy going to bat for the conference, the AD at Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. He used to be Dickie's lap dog when he was over here, so who knows. But I'm glad that Josh Heupel got a deserving Coach of the Year award, and then I think all the ones who won All-SEC were very deserving. I don't think anybody else on Tennessee's roster was deserving of All-SEC honors.
No, I'd agree with that. It is weird to me. Like, I read these names from guys from Georgia, and I mean, you know some of them, obviously, but, like, I didn't know their kicker was that good, and he got first team. It's just, I didn't know that their tackle, Broderick Jones, was so good. He's first team. Like, some of these names, I haven't heard about them because they're all so good, but then you got to give somebody the awards. And obviously, they were going to run the table on that anyway.
Well, Georgia now is like Alabama was, 5 to 10 years ago, about loading up players. You don't see much of attrition from Georgia, but you're starting to see people leave Alabama now, which is kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah, and I can't quite figure that out. We were talking about that tackle who was the number one overall prospect a couple years ago. He started like 20 games or something, and he entered the portal. But, yeah, you're not seeing that from Georgia, at least not from guys who are starting and making a big impact. They did lose the receiver last year to Alabama, Jermaine Burton.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Kirby's got it a little more figured out than Saban with NIL and other avenues of payment.
Yep.
I tell you what, Kirby, if Kirby don't mess it up, he's going to dominate the SEC for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that we got Heupel when we did, because I think he has a chance to, once he gets everything kind of rolling, if he can continue to recruit well and our NIL stays strong, I think, every other year, every 2 years or something, we could be a team that gives them a little bit of trouble. But right now, he's got everything in his corner. I mean, he has built an absolute mecca of talent. And what's crazy to me is it seems like they're a pretty selfless team when you watch them play and when you hear them talk in the media. It's all about the team and about Georgia. Like, they don't have a lot of ego on that team. And I don't know if that's – like, if Kirby is such an alpha that he kind of dominates the team and so then they just kind of fall in line behind him, or if that's a recruiting profile thing for them. But, I mean, every team's going to have some guys get in trouble off the field and – over the summer and stuff, but he's had a pretty nice little run of not only getting talent, but keeping talent, playing a lot of guys, keeping them happy. It's sickening, but it's actually been pretty impressive, because I did not think Kirby, no pun intended, was that smart of a coach, but he's done a really good job down there.
Well, a 12-game playoff's going to help Tennessee. If we can, if you're in the top 12 every year, you're going to be in the playoff pretty much every once in a while.
Yep. No, I think so, too. I think that's big.
And the SEC ought to get 3 or 4 in the playoff, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think that's why you saw the Big 12 and the Pac-12 say, hey, we got to guarantee conference champs get in, because otherwise, the SEC could have 5 on a given year. We've got to have at least one spot. I mean, I'd have to look at it this year, but let's say it goes chalk and LSU beats A&M the way they were supposed to. I mean, you're talking about four teams are in this year, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and LSU. Like, and that's not a crazy season. I mean, you've had seasons where the division champs were undefeated and the second place team in each division had one loss. That's a guaranteed 4. If you have another one-loss team or a 10-2 team in a 12-team playoff, it's very possible. I mean, it depends on obviously what happens around the country, but I don't think it's impossible at all to see. I don't think it happened at the Big Ten because I don't think they're strong enough top to bottom. But to think the SEC wouldn't be able to get five in occasionally, I could absolutely see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Y'all talking about Deion going to Colorado yet?
A little bit. Sounds like he hates his roster and wants 85 new guys.
Well, I'm pretty sure he'd go out and get them. They'll just go out and promise them this. And what about their NIL situation out there?
They don't even have enough money to pay him. They don't have the money to pay his salary. And that's one of the things they were able to do at Jackson State. Now, he does have connections to Barstool, and there's some other connections through him that he can probably, fire up to get some NIL going. But I don't know what the athletic department budget looks like there. And how, I guess a hire like Deion, like, that's going to rejuvenate the fans. They're going to be excited. Right. It's definitely an outside-the-box hire. But I was kind of surprised he took it, honestly. I was surprised Louisville didn't make a move and Cincinnati didn't make a move on him. I just think that makes more sense I know he's a Southeast guy, but at least regionally you're closer if you're in Ohio or Kentucky.
Is Brahm going to go to Louisville?
Louisville certainly seems to think so. I mean, they were basically willing to pack Satterfield's office up for him when he decided to leave.
Yeah.
I think that was a... Satterfield saw the writing on the wall. Louisville did too, and Cincinnati was dumb enough to hire him. And they're gonna go pitch to Brahm. And I'd be stunned if he didn't take that job. I don't understand what they're doing at all.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. Cincinnati's a good job, and they're just about now. They're going to have 3 or 4 years of mediocrity now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, guys, hang in there.
Thanks for the call, Philly. Appreciate it.
Call, Phil.
Yeah, that Satterfield hire at Cincinnati, that just feels very lazy.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
I don't either. From Fickell to Satterfield?
Well, he gets to restart his clock.
Makes sense for him. I mean, of course you take that job if you're him.
Is that the biggest downgrade a team's had at head coach in a while?
Is it kind of like it?
Yeah.
I mean, there are other options to pick a guy that's coming upward from a smaller,
Wouldn't you rather have Jamie Chadwell than Scott Satterfield?
Hey, maybe. I think what they're doing is kind of like when you pick a coach that goes to the NFL and fails, but you're like, but last time he was at this level, he was good.
So sure, sure.
Give him another shot. I mean, I don't know. And you never know how the personal connections are with those types of people and places, too.
So. No, that's true. I was just surprised that neither Louisville – well, maybe Louisville did. I don't know. But, if you're Cincinnati and Louisville, don't you just at least think about Deion? Don't you at least interview him?
Yeah, but I mean, Colorado's a better job than those, isn't it? With their money,
yes and no. They are Power Five. I'll give them that, but they're in the failing Pac-12, which is about to lose USC and UCLA.
Yeah.
They don't have the money to pay you. You got to go live in Boulder. I like Boulder, but it's not, no one thinks, the good old football town of Boulder. I don't know. I mean, I don't blame Deion for taking that job. I'm just stunned that some of these other, Cincinnati, you've been kind of forward-thinking in your coaching hires to a degree, minus maybe Butch. But you've got a good thing going, and it's kind of Satterfield. Just very uninspired.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is the way I would put that. But if Louisville gets Brahm, I don't want to call it a home run, but I think that's could be Scott Frost in Nebraska, or it could be really, really good. I don't think he's a bad coach.
We'll come back one more.
Former Tennessee head coach,
of course,
Jeff Brahm.
Yeah, don't forget that. Here on 3 and Out.
Make Christmas for me, where the love circles around us like the gifts beneath our tree. Well, I know there's more snow up in Colorado.
That's appropriate with the Deion news, I guess.
Hey, remember earlier when I was talking about songs that wake people up?
Yeah.
This is not one of them. Good song, though.
It is a good song. Such a great voice.
Now you're just going to let it keep rolling?
Mm-hmm.
Fade it out or anything?
It's fading out.
Okay. There we go. Eventually. It finally made it. So I got some basketball coming up this week. Mm-hmm. Excited about it. Eastern Kentucky, you know.
Any update on Vescovy for tomorrow night?
I haven't seen anything.
That's not good.
Eastern Kentucky, 269th in the country, according to the KenPom.
I'm sorry, 269?
Yeah, that's better than Alcorn State and McNeese State. We're three.
Three?
Mm. Yeah. That's better than Tennessee Tech, McNeese State, Alcorn State. It's not as good as Florida Gulf Coast. 99.5% chance to win.
That's it?
99.5.
For some reason, I thought you said 95.5. 99.5. That sounds a little better. Yeah.
82-53.
So they'd beat us one time out of 200.
Right.
Okay.
Your projected score.
Gotcha.
82-53. Game is at Thompson Bowling Arena.
Yes. What time?
Well, I don't remember.
It's okay. I'm sorry.
Tomorrow will be game day. It'll be a big game day show.
I know Hickman's excited.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
I know. That's why I said I know you're excited.
Well, it's our last tune-up game before, you know, an actual top 20 opponent.
Now that is must-watch college basketball.
Maryland-Tennessee from the Barclays Center.
Yeah. Wish it wasn't on Fox. I wish we had got, like, an ESPN, like, 2 o'clock time slot maybe.
Why do you hate Fox so
bad?
What's
wrong with the Fox?
It's just...
It's network television.
Yeah, but I just like ESPN better.
Apparently, DirecTV and Fox are in disputes. They might lose it.
Oh, it's on Fox Sports 1. That's different. That's not
FS1.
Fox.
Yeah. Do you like FS1, though?
He hates FS1.
FS1's worse than typical, normal old
he
Fox.
He doesn't watch FS1. He's not going to be able to watch this
for
basketball
football,
game.
For football. Well, but he said this is must-watch college basketball, so he won't miss this.
Yeah, I'm watching this one.
It's at 4:30. What's wrong with that time slot?
It is kind of later than we normally play on Sunday. It's kind of like this one this past week.
The Wednesday game's at 7, Chris, on SEC Network.
Just SEC Network, not plus.
Just that, according to UTSports.com at this moment, just SEC Network.
I'll take it.
Yep. And then I guess we got the midweek off for, is that for finals?
Yeah.
After the Maryland game and then Arizona. Next Saturday.
Oh, we go from Maryland straight to Arizona?
Yep.
Sheesh, that could be a brutal stretch.
Well, I mean, you have the whole week.
Yeah.
It's finals, you know. They're not going to be – they shouldn't be tired.
Maybe rusty, though.
I don't know how Vescovy hurt his shoulder.
Didn't he hurt it in the whatever game that was before?
When he fell?
Yeah.
Maybe. Didn't he play the rest of that game and bury some threes?
You better enjoy tonight. It's one of only two tune-up games left on the whole schedule.
You mean tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah. Sorry, tomorrow and Austin Peay. That's it. And then you got Maryland, Arizona, and the SEC schedule.
It's a hell of a way to close out your preseason.
Might be our
pre-league
slate. Last two chances to see a little B.J. Edwards.
Now, we might get a blowout in conference play where he gets a minute
or
two.
He got some minutes the other night. He looked pretty good. Made a couple of nice passes. Good vision. Didn't take a shot.
Got those minutes due to an injury.
In the 94-40 game?
Yep.
I could have got minutes in that game.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have done anything.
I would have played D.
You got housed.
I would have taken a charge. I can guarantee you that.
You would have tried to take one.
No, it would have been a charge.
Three-point play.
You got dunked all over.
Dude, I think I own the school record for
I think
starters.
I'll go with Plavsic over you. No offense.
I would hope so. He is 7 foot.
Well, according to you, he stinks.
He does. Sometimes.
Nate, have you seen what South Carolina fans are trying to put together for Orange Bowl?
I saw something about it, but I didn't see what what's the message supposed to say?
I don't know if they've decided on that, but basically, like, congrats to Clemson and Tennessee on making the Beamer Bowl. They're going to fly it behind a plane around South Beach for, like, 3 hours before the game.
Yeah.
Or up until sunset or something. We raised money for Zakai Ziegler, whose family's house burned down, and they're trying to raise money to troll Clemson and Tennessee. It would be a pretty good troll, though. I mean, that's pretty.
If it makes you feel better, they care more about the Clemson one than the Tennessee one.
Yeah, but the fact that they did get both in back-to-back weeks.
Well, that's all they got this season, though. That's all.
You think they threw the Florida game to prepare for the next two?
The little okey-doke, huh? A little rope-a-doke.
Maybe not through it, but maybe like, look. Florida's the worst team. We're not going to prep for them. If we lose, we lose. It's on the road. Not that big of a deal. We're going to start prepping for Tennessee and Clemson.
Like Ollie in the corner, they just took the blows. They're like, this will almost knock us out of having a quote-unquote successful season. But if we can bounce back and beat these last two Orange teams.
Well, they got to 8-4. Maybe he's sitting there thinking, look, I mean.
Could be 9-3 if he'd have prepped for it.
Yeah, but then you might lose the next two. You might have gone, 6-6. Like, you beat Florida but lose the next two. South Carolina fans aren't happy, but you prep for 3 weeks for Tennessee and then mix in some Clemson in there. I mean, that was just it. There's the perfect storm. Like, we had issues. They double prepped for us, and it was just, it felt like the perfect storm watching that stupid football game.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
I just don't understand how they didn't score. Like, losing to Florida is one thing on the road, but
man, that fake way it went.
Jeez Louise. They lost to Florida.
They didn't want to show anything.
They lost to Florida, Missouri, Georgia, completely destroyed them, yeah. Arkansas, and then beat Clemson and Tennessee. Wow.
They're kind of like Colorado in basketball, just inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how Beamer gets like credit, but really, isn't the sign of a better coach like be consistent?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But early on in a program, that might not be as possible.
Yeah.
So you might try to – I think a lot of coaches do that. I think that's why you see teams lose kind of weird ones where they look terrible and then they bounce back the next week, or next 2 weeks in this case, get two big wins.
We'll come back. Final segment of the program next.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue. It's more than just. Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Pack in the wind. Battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up. Punk, you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew.
Final segment of the program. Man, this portal season is going to be nuts. It's making NFL free agency look like child's play. And NFL coaches will tell you, they have guys all season that chart players on other teams. But, mm-hmm. Maybe Heupel should go Billy Napier staff size just and have a whole division that's just scouting other teams' players. Not for games. Not like we might play Utah in a bowl game. Like, we're scouting their, second best.
Mm-hmm. Well, knowing what we know now, wouldn't that be incredibly beneficial?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when Philly talked about Deion.
It's actually easier than high school because there's hundreds, thousands of high schools you might want to look at for a player.
There's going to be some coach that does that, right? There's like.
Portal only?
Yeah, we don't take high school players. We just portal guys. Our whole team is just guys that started somewhere else. They're all 24 years old.
Worked with Hendon Hooker.
I know. But, when Philly said Deion just wants a whole new team, I started thinking, it's tough to evaluate and then bring in. Like which 80 guys do you want to bring in? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's 60.
Wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
I would absolutely do that.
There used to be college basketball coaches that would basically build entire starting lineups out of JUCO every year.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they were at lower level schools that, didn't have much of a recruiting budget, so you just had to kind of find guys that you kind of knew where they had been coming out and recruiting and had followed their college game, and then you just try and get them. But football now, that's...
Especially since we're good at NIL. If you're at a school where it's going to be really tough to lure, I totally understand not putting, we're going to focus on high school where we can get these guys here and do our best to keep them. But if you've got a good NIL setup, what's the perfect mix there?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Let's say you've got, I know the number's 25 or whatever, but let's say you've got 25 spots available.
Uh-huh.
20 recruits, 5 transfers, 15, 10, 12 and 13. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on every different year. But, I mean,
the thought process,
there's like 600 dudes in the portal right now.
The thought process used to be that you needed to get X amount of freshmen because you would have them for, you know, 3 or 4 years. You couldn't take too many JUCOs because then that would leave you with holes.
Yep, yep.
But if you can fill the holes just as easily, and if you're losing guys anytime they want to leave,
mm-hmm.
like getting a freshman doesn't mean you'll have him for 3 or 4 years. He might leave after his first year, after his second year.
And depending on your program, that might be a good thing. Like,
yeah.
Hey, this guy, he's just not going to work out.
Might be over-recruiting him or whatever. It's,
right.
It's a weird, I mean, it's the same amount of players just getting passed around quicker.
I'll do it.
Than they used to, so. I don't know.
I'll watch tape. I'll break it down.
It'll give us something to follow a little more in the offseason. I guess that's, you know, good for radio, but a lot more work for these coaches. Maybe they are earning their extra dollars.
Yeah, that's why they're getting all these raises, bud.
You know,
I can't wait. I can't wait to see your face the morning you come in and Heupel's making 9.4. It's gonna
be extended for the next 84 years.
I didn't say extend. I just said pay raise.
Do it again tomorrow. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.
Car wrecks happen, and when they do,
you're gonna need someone to guide you through
to make it easier to treat.